podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you until 6 o'clock today. We'll have some friendship basketball for you coming on the air this evening, beginning at 6, girl-boy doubleheader. The friendshippers are at Odessa High. Girls up first at 6. Boys will follow at 7:30. And then the same goes for the Fighting Lubbock Coopers. 6 o'clock is when that coverage starts at 100.7 The Score. They're taking on Abilene Wiley. Girls up first at 6. The boys will follow. And, you know, lo and behold, Friday rolls around, and suddenly Clint is suddenly healthy. So
he's missing a kneecap,
Working the Monday-Friday plan is Clint.
He's missing a kneecap. I noticed he came in limping, yeah. So I'm guessing Rocco.
We shared that you put your life savings, including all of your pawned Pokemon cards, onto Georgia minus 59. And so when they failed to cover, you went on the lamb.
Yeah, holographic Charizard did me dirty.
You remember the scene at the very end of Caddyshack when the Rodney Dangerfield goes over to Judge Smales and does the because he'd lost all the golf bets or whatever. They bet on the kids, you know, in the deal where the putt hung on the rim and fell in and all the explosions got us to the very end. It's, I'm not paying you a dime, and Dangerfield's like, Moose, Rocco, help the judge find his checkbook. And they take off running across the golf course, and that's it. That's what I was thinking. Moose and Rocco caught up with you and got a pound of flesh for your gambling debts.
Who would our station's Moose and Rocco be?
You would be one of the Mooses or the Roccos. Who would be Judge Schmales, though? Is that
it's kind of Chuckish.
Chuck?
It is kind of Chuckish.
Pretty Chuckish.
I did think it was probably not Chuckish. A coincidence that news comes out that robot umpires are going to start to kind of take things over in minor league baseball, and then
Triple-A,
yeah, which is serious. And then Snead is in here today, probably just kind of diversifying just in case his portfolio.
That's right,
it's probably a ways away from robot football officials, but still, never can be too sure.
Yeah, and I think they've got a little challenge system built into that, so there's an instant, hey, that pitch was off the plate, and they can immediately, within 5 seconds go, yeah, it was a ball, and then boom. And so some successful challenges that take seconds, which is interesting. But these things have been tested in the low minors and independent ball and stuff, just like the bigger bases and some of those things. So to their credit, Major League Baseball will find a way to – just trial run a lot of this stuff, which is interesting. As opposed to just sort of throwing it out there, they're able to go look at data and say, hey, this stuff's pretty accurate. But I noticed that yesterday. And when the robo ump thing didn't surprise me as much, but when I saw Triple A, I was like, well, we're one step away from the big leagues here. So, I'll be curious to see how that goes, what the reception is and what the perception of it is, because one of the very real things about that is the catcher that frames well and sticks pitches just off the plate, and Yadi Molina's gets some calls and saves you on that 2-1 pitch that's a little off, that he makes it look good and presents it to umpires. That guy's it's a computer.
That art.
Yeah, and so now it's like you need a guy who can block, because you're still going to have pitches in the dirt you got to deal with. You need a guy who can catch pitches, but he can be sloppy back there with the frames, and then he needs to be able to throw. And so the traits that have defined the good defensive catcher are about to change a little bit if, in fact, this robo-ump goes into place.
Love to get your thoughts and your comments today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline. How about this? Seeing some reporting on Garrett Riley's deal with Clemson. He has agreed to a 3-year deal worth $1.75 million per. And it includes a signing bonus, which I'm assuming is going to be, not just chump change.
Ooh. Man. The coordinator salaries and the multi-year commitments, that's a sign of the times, I guess. That's nothing new, the 2 and 3 year deals and the even the $7 million contracts, but those things getting up well past $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that it was relatively uncommon for assistant coaches to have multi-year deals, and now it seems like virtually everywhere, at least more than half of the Power Five, you have at least one coordinator, usually both, with a multi-year deal, and even past that, you have some assistant coaches that are on multi-year deals. I think that Emmett Jones is on a multi-year deal. I would be surprised if Juice Johnson is not on a multi-year deal. So that's just kind of the price of doing business, and that's where a lot of this additional revenue is going. Right? It's kind of like, you know, when you're growing up and you think, man, if I could just make X, I'd be set. Sure. I could live off of X forever and just be like super comfortable.
And then, fat and happy.
And then, you know, lo and behold, sure, as you reach X and surpass X, you know, you find things to spend that money on. And in this case, with college athletics, it's largely salaries. It's people.
Personnel, yeah.
Another bit of coaching news in the SEC, Pete Golding going from Alabama to Ole Miss. He is a Mississippi person. I think he went to Delta State in Mississippi. And he's leaving Alabama for Ole Miss. And I've seen some speculation that this was kind of a mutual parting there in Tuscaloosa, in that, hey, we might want to go a different direction with our defense.
Yeah.
So let's try to find you a...
So Bama, if Bill O'Brien stays put, then they're not looking for an OC. But there's a lot of shuffling going on right now. Who knows? But obviously looking for a DC. And that's a pretty good run, 4 or 5 years for him, you know, with Saban. And I had someone, I mean, it'd be borderline newsworthy for me to say who told me this, so I won't put this name on it. But let's just say I had someone who knew Saban well that said, the people who work, Nick Saban, the people who don't work closely with Nick Saban love him because he's so successful. Mm-hmm. In other words, fans and boosters and all that stuff. The people who work closest to Nick Saban, he's extremely hard on them. And that doesn't mean he's, you know, screaming at him and yelling and all that, but it's just a...
Demanding, not jerk.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Tense, disciplined, focused. There's not a lot of, you know, jacking around in there. It's probably one of those places that, you know, you and I are sitting there talking and you can hear the door close. Hey, Nick's here. And everybody like, back to your chair. We get back to work. And which, you know, it speaks to his success. But that person told me he's hardest on the people who work closest with him. And which is what I'm going with this is a guy like Golding's going, hey, I did 4 or 5 years as his DC. Remember, Saban's a DB coach, so he's kind of a defense first guy. So that's a pretty good run. In this stretch of all of their big success, most of those coordinators have moved on fairly quickly because they're moving onward and upward.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's the Juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're with you today until 6 o'clock. Hey, Clint is in all seriousness back with us after a not-so-fun illness. So we're glad. I mean, I saw that you have your supplies, so you're clearly not 100% yet. Tissues and some cough drops.
I've been promised I'm not contagious, and I'm standing, so that's good.
Okay, that's awesome, man. Yeah we were thinking about you because we know that for you to take off, it would be serious, right? Like, you wouldn't just kind of, like, call in sick and go to, like, Cancun or something.
With, like, Call of Duty noises in the background.
Right, yeah.
Like, hey, Kyler Murray.
Shut up, noob!
All right, Jamie, I'll see you later. I got to pwn some noobs.
I know that that you folks out there are just as glad to have Clint back as we are. So why don't you give him a call on the Benchmark Hotline, 806-771-0973, and tell him how glad you are to have him back. Again, that number, the Benchmark Hotline, 806-771-0973. Time for some headlines. Nebraska coach Matt Rhule, how about this, has already made some outside-the-box hires, right? He's brought in some Texas high school people to his staff at Nebraska, much like what he did at Baylor. Of course, we know that he hired Clay McGuire. Clay McGuire, Garrett McGuire. Anyways, he hired Joe McGuire's son to coach receivers. But how about this? Another interesting hire for Rhule from the state of Texas. He has hired Dr. Susan Elza to serve as his chief of staff. Do you know who that is?
She's the former softball coach at Allen High School when my wife worked there.
That's true.
She was a cool drinking buddy back then in the 97, 98. I don't mean like that in any crazy way, but just so fun to go have a beer with.
You've gone drinking with the new chief of staff at Nebraska.
Yeah. Been 25 years.
She's most recently been the athletic director for the UIL.
Yeah.
How about
like
that?
The. Yeah, I mean, when you would see, Meeks and those guys that would talk about Mike Meeks and probably Gerlich and those people that would talk about going to state meetings and, you know, hearing from Dr. Elza and this or that. And that was her, Susan Elza. Yeah, that's a fascinating hire. That's fascinating.
You too can join the program. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com.
Garrett McGuire.
Yeah, Garrett McGuire. Yeah. I got that wrong.
That's all right.
I mean, Clay McGuire, of course, was Mike Leach's first commitment and former Tech football player.
And still coaching.
Still coaching. Did you get some well wishes there, Clint?
I did.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, that was great. Then again, you can offer your well wishes to Clint as he recovers from that that nasty infection, 806-771-0973, the Benchmark Hotline. What I'm curious, he's clearly betting very heavily on Texas.
Oh, yeah.
And I find that to be, one, not surprising. I mean, he did that at Baylor with great success, with fantastic success. But I wonder if it will be as effective at Nebraska, because Nebraska doesn't play in Texas. They have no conference mates in Texas.
Yeah, I agree.
And there's really no pull there. Like, this isn't like a Texas kid going to play in the SEC, Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss. You know, this is a Nebraska that hasn't been really relevant at all since these prospects have been alive.
I agree. And, I mean, there's no doubt that it's a fertile recruiting ground, but to anchor in it and to really try to major in it is fascinating to me. Who am I to second guess, but I would turn my attention toward the Midwest and go, hey, let's go own Chicago. Let's go get after Chicago, and because we can recruit against Illinois and Purdue and all that, you know, but, and I'm sure they will, but yeah, the Texas thing is, that's fascinating because there's no hook to it. I mean, they're not coming down there and playing once a year. They're not, you know, they're not in a conference with anyone that's coming there playing. I mean, Matt Rhule's been highly organized and has done a really good job with his Rolodex over the years and made interesting hires over the years. But this one, this one's really interesting.
The I'm looking at their future non-conference schedules, and they could add things. They could take some things away. They could modify this. Although I would guess that the next 3 or 4 years are pretty much locked in, set in stone. But no games currently scheduled to be played in Texas between now and 2035. They do have two games in Oklahoma, one in 2029 at OU, another in 2035, which doesn't really help you right? If you're recruiting prospects from Texas, I'm not sure how much kind of mileage you're going to get out of, yeah, well, hey, 10 years after you graduate, we'll be playing in Oklahoma, right, which is right up the road from the Metroplex. Yeah, I don't get it. And you're going into a state that is already heavily recruited, not only by the multitude of Power Five programs in the state, but the other group of fives and everybody else, right?
Yeah, the SEC West is coming over
Everybody's
there.
Everybody's trying to cherry pick.
You bet. Right?
And then you have a bunch of the SEC West programs that have made Houston a big priority, mm-hmm, and to a lesser extent, the Metroplex. It just makes no sense. Like, why? Matt Rhule is a name. Nebraska has some cachet, but I don't think that that's enough, right? I don't think that you're going to really make any waves in terms of recruiting Texas. I think what you said is what they should have done. They should have applied this blueprint to the Midwest and hired a really respected St. Louis coach, mm-hmm, right? Or a Kansas really respected City, Chicago man. Area sure. coach or sure. Detroit or something else. And because those kids can drive to Nebraska, those families.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A lot easier than... Anyways, it struck me as very bizarre, although it is an interesting hire.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that they would have some representation and some attempt at getting ties into the state of Texas, but like you said, sort of majoring in it a little bit. You know, it's fascinating. You know,
this... on the chat line, hey, I had a quarter of my players from Texas when I was the head coach at Penn State in NCAA 14. It's possible. Well, I mean,
yeah,
how
I did it
can
with
I argue
Hawaii,
with that?
So it's not that hard.
Standing down.
Are they finally hanging my portrait in the control room? Is that what is going on?
Yeah, it's your face on a most wanted
Sweet.
Poster.
Sweet.
Nice.
Oh, it's the portrait. They got my good side. This is
your
chat
10-year
line.
10-year pin.
Matt Rhule will do just fine. Ohio State, Alabama, Notre Dame, and others do just fine in Texas. So... The latter part of your text is correct.
Yeah, I know. You're just assuming that he's got the same juice as Ohio State and Alabama?
Man. I mean...
Is that what the assumption is there?
Suddenly, you know, 40-some-odd games in the NFL automatically makes you the equivalent of Nick Saban, Notre Dame, and Ryan Day. I'm sorry. That's just not... Like, you might have some recruits to pick up the phone that maybe you wouldn't have otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you get some visits out of this that you wouldn't normally get. But I just... They're not going to be winning a lot of head-to-heads, or at least enough to kind of make this much investment in Texas worth it.
Hey, speaking of personnel changes,
are you quitting?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No, not yet.
What an awesome way to hand in your team.
Friday about 3:30. Juice lands in Lubbock 48 hours ago, and roughly 24 hours ago, the Red Raiders land what the top-ranked player commitment in the 2024 class, a running back.
The highest-ranked in Texas class.
Yeah, yeah, in Texas like class. No, no,
overall,
no, 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 no,
right,
no, no,
right.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, in Texas class. That's just fine by me.
I don't know, because he had been on Tech's radar.
Right, yeah, yeah.
He had gone to a camp.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, I think this was someone that Tech was really recruiting heavily. So I don't. I would love to give Juice all the credit there,
sure,
because that would be a great story. I don't, and certainly he had some impact. I don't know how much,
right?
But the fact that it came on the heels like that, super good.
Dots, are they connected? I don't know, but
I love the dots.
Lots of dots.
More Tech talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint, I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. Sunday is the last day of this transfer portal window, and so the window won't open again until May, and so you're starting to kind of see an increase in activity as the hours kind of count down toward the window closing. Craig Williams from Baylor, running back, has entered the portal. He ran for about 550 yards, 4 touchdowns this year for the Bears. Former 4-star prospect. He's a graduate transfer. I thought that was interesting because, of course, he was coached by Juice Williams. I don't know that you would bring him on, given how I think tight your spots are, and I think you have some other needs that you want to address. But I still found that to be very interesting. And then how about this?
You bet.
More bad news for the Pokes, and it's not like I don't wake up. Believe it or not, I don't wake up every morning going, man, what bad things can we talk about with respect to Oklahoma State? But this stuff just keeps on happening. Sean Tyler, who had been a running back at Western Michigan, he entered the portal. He committed to transfer to Oklahoma State. Second team, all-conference there in the MAC, had almost, I don't know, more than 1,700 all-purpose yards. He has flipped to Minnesota.
Oh, man.
He has flipped to Minnesota, and so it just seems like you can't go more than a day without some kind of bad news about the Pokes. They have 19 players in the portal. Derek Mason is leaving, their defensive coordinator. Starting quarterback, starting running back, starting cornerback, starting safety, all gone. Leading tackler, gone. Second leading receiver, gone. Second leading pass catcher, gone.
You know, as someone who wants Oklahoma State to be Texas Tech's main rival in the new Big 12, I say we commit to this, like cow poking the bear with Aaron Dickens, a new daily segment.
Cow poking. Yeah, but the bear thing,
poking the Pokes.
Yeah, the bear thing gets you kind of, wait, what's this have to do with Baylor? So yeah,
let's workshop that.
Yeah, but you're pretty close there. I like the cow poking the Pokes or something. Yeah,
poking the hare, a story of Gundy.
So there was an interesting bit of I don't know, back and forth with respect to the Big 12 schedule today that we have been anticipating now for 4 months, 6 months. The saga continues. Terry Muolinar, I might have been
confident.
That.
Confident.
No, 6 out of 10. He's the AD at UCF. He responded to a fan on Twitter today. The fan said, "Hey, I'll donate $12 to the UCF NIL collective if you tell me when I'm going to get a schedule for football."
Really?
And the AD goes, "Tuesday." Hashtag charge on or whatever their hashtag is. And so people saw that and ran with it. Like, UCF AD saying Big 12 schedule out on Tuesday. And full disclosure, that's what we have heard. That's what we have heard for weeks now, dating back to even before New Year's, that, hey, the 17th of January is the circle date. That's when it's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So when he said it, I'm like, okay, well then that's confirmation of that what we have heard is right. Because we've been hinting around that for weeks now if you've been listening.
The question is if you believe us or not.
And then people started running with it as, UCF AD confirming Big 12 schedule coming out on Tuesday. And then people started to kind of do the actual journalism thing and reach out to the Big 12 for comment. Hey, is this true? And Big 12 has kind of shot it down. Like, while we anticipate releasing it soon, there's no specified release date yet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then the AD at UCF has gone back and gone, hey, actually, we don't have a firm date yet. Things are still being kind of hashed out.
I didn't hear the
hashtag charge on.
I'd have to think about how the thing was worded. Hey, if you'll tell me when the schedule is, so, you know, then I'll make a donation. Well, it doesn't pay me if I'm the AD at UCF to not take a stab at it. If I'm right, hey, come on, need that $1,000 or whatever.
Right.
If I'm wrong, it was just an opportunity cost, just a tough guess. Terry, Mohajer. And this is a phonetic spelling from a buddy of mine that worked with him at Arkansas State. He was a,
How's that go again?
Mohajer.
Mohajer. Okay.
No, Mohajer.
Mohajer.
Thor's hammer, right?
Mjolnir, yeah.
Mohajer.
That's how I...
Oh, is that what you were looking for? I didn't know what it was.
No, that's what I said. That's what I said.
I met the guy at Surefire one
Mohajer.
Year. Yeah, met the guy at Surefire when they were both, my board member and him were at Arkansas State together. And the funny thing is he was sort of skeptical at that time. He wasn't sure about the Wells hire at Tech. I don't know, man. Got a great resume. I don't know if they got the quarterback to win. Well, I hope you're wrong about that. I mean, he was pleasant and informed and very, very dialed into football and all the things that had, you know, just interesting guy. But because I had a common friend, I was invited to the table. Or maybe Mohajer was invited to the table because he had a common friend. I don't know. But there's one of the old talent searches, or not, what do they call them? What are the things that go
search
out?
Search
firms, yes. There's a guy named Carr. He did it for a long time. He was one of the early ones. C-A-R-R. And Carr was the fourth person at that table. Carr was the other guy that was really interesting that day, talking about the idea of fit and his example for a place where the fit wasn't exactly right was Sonny Dykes at California. Of all the things around the country, and he wasn't dunking on Sonny. He was just talking about, Sonny Dykes a good coach, but at Berkeley, you know. And, you know, of all the meals and all the lunches and of all the people for you to mention, that one was interesting because I remember two things that came out of that. But I texted my buddy this fall and I was like, how do you pronounce, I thought it was Mohair. Mohajer. Mohajer. Got it? We good? Mohajer. We're going to need to know this. He's going to be in the conference with us. Let's go.
Now the question is.
Oh, look at this. He's making a button.
That's why I didn't say anything. I sat out.
Mohajer, everybody.
You should set that to the tune of like Do a Deer.
Yeah, put a
Do Re Mi.
Put it to a beat. Oh, nice.
Oh, and you just ruined it with your computer sound. Jeez. So the question is, was Mohajer telling the truth?
Yeah.
And then got some kind of like, dude, shut up, kind of like communique from the Big 12. You know?
Come on, what are you doing, Mohajer?
Mohajer. Or what if somebody went, what are you doing, Mohair? No, it's Mohajer.
Come on, Mjolnir.
Mjolnir. Where did the N come from and where did the L come from? Mjolnir.
They're silent.
Yeah, S-M-I-T-H, pronounced Janowski.
This and the Yates Flooring Center chat line, somebody says, I just saw a shirt that read, sorry, ladies, I'm like a brother to someone else already. Super random, but funny. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, that's big time.
This in the chat line, Mike from the ranch. Bobby Bowden always said at Florida State that he wanted to get two or three kids every year from Texas. Yeah, I mean, like, you can dip into Texas.
He was
right?
Winning that, yeah.
At Nebraska or Florida State or really anywhere. There are enough good quality Power 5 caliber players here for everyone to have somebody on their roster from Texas. Where I think this differs from what Matt Rhule is doing, he seems to be putting kind of all of his chips on Texas. He's hired a former Texas high school football coach. He's hired the AD of the UIL as his chief of staff.
That's fascinating.
To me, that doesn't say, oh, you know, we'll dip in a little bit and kind of get a couple few every couple of years. No, this seems like he wants to do at Nebraska what he did at Baylor, and I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, like he wants 6, 8, 10, 12 a year.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there, it's Tech Talk on Double T97.3 and DoubleT973.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6. Would love to hear your thoughts and comments on the EH Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. Somebody says this in the chat line. Okay, move on from the name. It's not that funny. Oops.
Oh.
Oh, man. Ooh. If only we would have seen that before just now.
Mohotcher.
This is in the chat line. UCF AD not even in the Big 12 yet and already being hammered on Tech Talk. No, I'm to be clear.
We were going the other direction.
Because think about it. He's really been the source of quite a bit of what we know or what we think we know about the Big 12 schedule. I remind you of this probably is like in August or September.
Yeah.
He told folks, hey, it'll be a 9-game conference schedule.
All right. He's not afraid to put some stuff out there.
Right. And this is an example of him, you know, at least his first comments that, hey, this schedule coming out on Tuesday. And then I guess this is backtracking. I would be surprised and is incredibly disappointed if they back off their January 17th plan. That's been circled for weeks. And I can't possibly think what could cause them to delay this thing again.
Yeah, I mean, there's a point at which schools want to start selling non-conference tickets. There's a point at which schools want to know, because pricing would come into play if it's 7 games versus 6, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you think so.
And that's going to be a 5 and a 4, 5-4, 5-4 from year to year to year. And so, you know, there's nothing that says you can't have more than 7 or less than 6. Well, I don't know that there's a recent precedent for less than 6 on campus. But
I mean, think about how wildly different the value of a season ticket package is in the Big 12. If Texas is on your schedule at home, if Oklahoma. Come on. I realize you've been gone for like 5 days in a row and you're not quite 100%, but please lock it up in there. Like, get a grip on your job, please.
This was my pet bird back here. His name is Melody.
Versus, hey, okay, your home schedule is BYU, Baylor, right. Cincinnati, Houston, TCU, and Kansas. I mean, or that number might have been off, but yeah. You get what I'm saying.
Yep.
And to not be able to like start kind of really progressing on that until, I mean, mid-January, even at this point, is like really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And to delay that even further, for what? For what? What are you going to accomplish?
Man, it makes me wonder if there's two models sitting there. We've got the...
Tell me more about these models.
We've got the one schedule model that is if Texas and OU are a one-off versus if Texas and OU are here for 2 years and they're trying to play the guessing game as much as possible. Because if they're a one-off, we can do this. But if there's 2 more years of them, we can do that.
At some point, if you're the Big 12, don't you owe it to your current membership? Well. Yeah. Your forward membership. Sure.
Focus on them.
The stakeholders involved, your fans, to go, listen, we've entertained this. We've kind of gone round and round. We haven't come to an agreement. We're still this far off or whatever. Sorry, we're done talking. Y'all are here until 2025.
Right.
Like, deal with it. It might not be the most comfortable situation. There might be some awkwardness. It might not be kind of what a lot of folks had hoped for, certainly in Austin or Norman.
But we tried.
You can't be dragging this thing on indefinitely just because of the possibility that you might be able to make Foxhole in some kind of like early exit deal.
Right.
This in the EH Flooring Center chat line, which Tuesday? It, like, full disclosure, I've been told
that by high-ranking, well-connected people.
Or just some random person on Twitch. No, January 17th, this coming Tuesday. And that's kind of been circled, the expectation since before the bowl game. Tech's bowl game, not the bowl game on Monday. So we'll see, but this person says in the chat line, it will crack me up when it's not released on Tuesday. The crying uproar will be worth it from 3 to 6. If there's no schedule on Tuesday, yes, it will be pissed and vinegar, salt, all that stuff from 3 to 6, at least on this side of the desk.
Yeah, you may have to remind me that was, you know what this day was supposed to be, right? Oh, man, I'm hacked with you. Because I'm actually very excited about it, but it's sort of I feel like I've done all I can do to anticipate it and wrap my brain around it, and now it's just, when it hits me, it's going to hit me, and then I can apply what I think I know to it. Don't believe me. I don't think I'm a Mr. You know, just
be
where my feet are.
Oh.
But on this particular thing, I don't know that I'd...
Are we watching the Weather Channel?
Yeah, I'm sorry. They were showing that tornado stuff from yesterday in Alabama. They got it. They got it, man. Yeesh. I mean, that state really got pummeled yesterday. I'm kind of glad that... I mean, we've got our own rough weather season, sort of a May, June, you know, thunderstorm, tornado type deal. And the Southeast is Christmas. Remember a couple years ago, like on Christmas, a tornado hit Birmingham or something like that? Can you imagine that on Christmas Day? Not, ooh, it's snowing, or wow, it sure is cold out, but.
Yeah. Hey, the cow is flying.
grab your new toys, kids, and head to the basement.
This and the challenge from Matthew. Aaron calling out the sound guy for his computer noise is the funniest thing I've heard on the show. Thanks, it's been annoying. Yeah, this isn't a Clint issue because it's been happening. It happened on your show, I heard, as I was in the car. It happened a bunch while you were, you know, at the spa this week for the last few days. What is it? What's the deal there? It's clearly some kind of Windows noise.
Yeah, apparently whenever we had something crash or whatever, and we had to reboot everything, something's happening where it's coming through the soundboard. I know this is very exciting to hear. I say we just commit to it as well and make it a hotkey at this point.
Maybe get some tequila in here, and every time that...
Oh, drinking game.
Take a shot.
It's called the drinking bing. Oh, yeah. There it is. Bottoms up.
Awesome. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, somebody asks, does Adams make it to the end of the season? Yes. It's hard for me to imagine a scenario, barring some kind of like non-traditional incident or controversy, off-court controversy. It's hard for me to imagine a scenario where he does not return next season. Not saying that I am like super excited about that, or, you know, am not fairly concerned about the direction of the program, but the buyout is like $7+ million. I mean, you're going to owe him 60% of what's left on the contract, and I just don't see you doing that in this scenario after what, you know, if you're kind of being glass half full, okay, one bad season, right?
Yeah.
Again, no, not saying that I'm like waving the flag and everything is hunky-dory and, you know, happy days are coming soon. Trying to be clear-eyed.
Yeah, it would take a lot to. I don't know what it would take, but I'm with you. I mean, you think about the fact this was one of the most. You're coming off one of the most successful school seasons in school history, one of the top five, right? Ish.
Yeah, 5 to 10.
3, 4, 5. Yeah.
Sure.
And you know, didn't lose a home game. Went to the Sweet 16, and then a year later. Out in that scenario, like, man, that would take some doing right there.
And
I understand the state of where everything is, but still, that because they're gonna have a tough time getting to 500 on the season without some winning down the stretch here.
I mean, you need to start winning tomorrow, really. Yeah. Asked a question yesterday, I think it was, and I have done a bit of research.
Hours of research.
seconds of research. we'll chop that up next. It's about Big 12 basketball and teams that have been in this situation before.
Yes.
That discussion next on Double T 97.3.
It's every Red Raiders favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6. We'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. So if you are a glass half full, maybe even glass three quarters full type of fan, to where even in the face of certain defeat, you hold out hope, right? It's 48-10 in the fourth quarter, and you go, you know what? There's still time. There's still time. If you're that fan, then I have a historical analogy or a historical precedent, maybe is a better way to,
a good way to say that. Yeah.
Of a team that is in that was in Tech's position that rebounded in the Big 12 and made the NCAA tournament not that long ago. This isn't like the 2003 Big 12, right, where you were able to kind of feast on the Colorados and the Nebraskas and the A&Ms and, you know, those type of programs to kind of inflate your win total. Back in the 2016-17 season, the Oklahoma State Cowboys were 10-2 in non-conference play. They lost to North Carolina, ranked fourth at the time, by 32 points. They also lost a road game against Maryland. Their only wins of note, Georgetown and UConn. Neither team ranked. I would say probably comparable to Texas Tech's non-conference schedule this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not identical, obviously. It's going to be impossible to find an apples-to-apples comparison there, but relatively unremarkable. Started out Big 12 play. Texas Tech is what right now? 0-4?
No.
The Pokes started out 0-6. 0-6. They lost to 11th-ranked West Virginia. They lost in Austin. They lost in Waco to 2nd-ranked Baylor. They lost at home to Iowa State. They lost in Lawrence to, at that point, the number 2-ranked Kansas Jayhawks. And then they lost at home to Kansas State. 0-6.
Look at your boy in there.
Yeah. No, they...
Take that, Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Well, poking the hair with Aaron Dickens.
2017.
Oh, 0-6. Seemed hopeless, right? They were 10-8 overall, 0-6 in the Big 12. They would go on to win 10 of their next 11 games. They went on two separate five-game winning streaks in the Big 12. And that winning streak started in Lubbock.
Texas.
That's right. 83-64. Not even a close win. They blew out the Red Raiders
in Lubbock. You said 16-17 was the team? This is,
yeah, 16-17.
So Beard's second year? First year?
I think second year.
Second, yeah.
I think that's right.
I believe you're right. Second team, yeah.
No, it must have been his first team because they didn't make any postseason. They win in Lubbock. They beat TCU at home. They beat Arkansas in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. They won in Norman. They beat 7th-ranked West Virginia in Morgantown. They lose to Baylor. Texas at home, win. At TCU, win. Oklahoma at home, win. K-State in Manhattan, win. Texas Tech in Stillwater, win. At that point, they were 20-9. They were 9-7 in the Big 12. They finished the regular season 9-9. They lost their last two regular season games in Ames and then also Kansas at home. Yeah, okay, whatever. And they lost
like
to Iowa State.
Two times Oklahoma State.
They lost to Iowa State in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. So they finished the They entered the NCAA tournament 20-12, 9-9 overall. They lost to Michigan in the first round. So they lost their last four games in a row, but still, they rebounded in a big way from 0-6. And so it has been done before.
I wonder,
do we think that that's likely here? Probably not.
Right. And I would have to dig into their story. And again, you spent seconds on it or minutes perhaps. Lady? No. And not go digging through the 2017 archives. Just go, oh, well, they got Joe Blow back after four games of
sharpshooter, man.
Ankle. Yeah. I mean, and it changed the game. You know, because I don't think there's any question that a potential source of optimism is a healthy Fardal Zamak. But, you know, the depths at which they were at this past Tuesday night in Ames, you know, I don't think Fardal Zamak's going to be worth the 34 point. I mean, it's going to take a lot of dudes cleaning their own game up before he can jump in. And you know, we talked about it 15 times on here. It's going to be asking a lot from him to be a major impact immediately. He had his first workout the other day, like first real workout, and you and I don't know exactly the terms of that, but yeah, that's a lot to ask. But hey, it's a source of optimism, I guess. Get everybody healthy and go clean up your game and maybe get back to being defense first. I don't know exactly what that's going to look like and if there was truly a change of philosophy or a change in, you know, and I really drawing on Coach, you know, Coach Adams' words after the game the other day, but just return to team ball or whatever. I mean, you know, I would think let's go back to our core value, which is defense first. Put our best defenders on the floor, get after your tail, and see what happens offensively.
This in the chat line, what Mark Adams did is non-traditional, 4 exclamation marks. Bobby Hot Dog says, this Aaron, are you going to go see William Shatner tonight? If so, did you buy the seat next to you as well? I am not going, no.
Oh, man. I was hoping you were going to do that.
I could have gone, obviously, if I wanted to. But I guess what kept me from going is that I've seen that movie in the theaters not that long ago. It's Wrath of Khan, so it came out in 82. But it was...
What if he's listening right now? Speak to him right now. He's in
William
an Uber.
Shatner?
Yeah, let's say he's in his room, and he just flipped it over, and he's looking at you and me right now on
Bill,
Optimum Channel 9.
Big fan. Call us up on the Benchmark Hotline, 806-771-0973.
There you go.
Easy.
There's something on Fox 34 News Now.
Oh, sure, he was going to call in, and then you did a crappy imitation and run him off.
This in the chat line.
2017 Oklahoma State can suck it.
I know. Twice. Pew, pew.
Two times.
Somebody says this, if Tech loses tomorrow, does Kirby have a conversation with Adams then or at the end of the season? At the end of the season, they will certainly have a conversation. Sure. That's fairly standard practice. I don't know what you gain. If you're Kirby Hoka, what is... Like, you're not going to be breaking any news to Mark Adams that, hey, man, 0-5 really sucks. Like, what the hell, dude? Like, what's going on here? Like, what is that? How does that benefit you, right? How does that make... I mean, Adams knows that that's a terrible record. You're not breaking any news to him. He just got a new contract, so it's not like he's feeling insecure from a future standpoint. I don't know that he would need to have a conversation with Adams tomorrow. Anyways, more Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, how are you going? Thank you for spending part of your Friday with us. We're with you today until 6 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you and what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline. This person says in the chat line, what college coach is gone after one bad year occurring in his second year after a very great first year? I'm talking any sport also. Seriously, name one coach. It's amazing how many geniuses think college is the same as the pros. Think before you drink. Come on, man, all caps. Yeah, I mean, I think that we should be very clear not only about how college coaching has changed in terms of the day-to-day expectations, responsibilities of a coach. Those are far different today than they were even just 5 to 8 years ago, let alone 20. And coaches that were successful 5 to 8 years ago aren't necessarily guaranteed to be successful now in this age of NIL and transfer portal, right? That's a significant part of the picture now. So college has changed, and that goes for baseball, soccer, football, basketball, everything. I think the expectations have changed too, because now not only are you paying the head coach a significant salary, especially when we're talking about Power Five, men's basketball, and football, you also have a lot of programs, and Texas Tech is one of them, that is filling out a massive staff, right? You have a large staff. Chris Beard had a large staff. You have kept that here. You have opened up a palace, a palatial basketball building, and you've also significantly invested in your roster, right? There is a sum of money that someone out there could probably total up for the players, the coaches, the staff. That's a significant number. Mm-hmm. It's not just play money.
Nope.
And when you have that much money going into a program being paid for by that many people, it's not just the athletic department now, right? Expectations are, hey, you don't go 0-4, right? You don't get housed by Iowa State and Ames and take your worst loss in a decade, right? You don't almost lose to Nichols and Eastern Washington. Like, that's what we're talking about here. And so while I'll say again, I don't think McAdams gets fired here, absent some sort of like very odd and unusual off-court circumstance.
Yeah.
I don't think that it is at all unreasonable to be talking about kind of job status and expectations, because when you put that much money into it, this isn't, hey, look at all these amateur athletes, and they're going to class and getting good grades, and they sure are some good old boys.
Well, that would be a high school.
This is professional sports now.
Yeah, that would be a high school program.
This is pro sports.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's completely fair to talk about that stuff. And heck, Matt Wells almost got fired after year two, and he had two terrible seasons. I mean, it was the 11th hour. It was the 59th minute of the 11th hour that kept him from getting bleep canned after year two. So, I think that's where we're at. This on the chat line. Did you all hear Sneed's rant earlier on the other show, the far inferior show, about this season's basketball team? Classic and on point. I might have ad-libbed there a little bit, Clint. I did not hear it. Can you paraphrase for us?
Essentially, it was from the angle of the reason that they've had so many defensive breakdowns and it's looked like a lack of effort is now that college athletes have got the money that they've sought after and are an employee, sometimes you can have a lack of buy-in from the angle that you see that in the same way that the NBA plays in a similar way. A lot of these high-profile athletes in the NBA won't play hard defense for two of the four quarters that they're playing in, and all of a sudden they're there in the final 2 minutes. And that could be a side effect of possibly what's happening with Texas Tech this year. That was his opinion.
I think that is probably true, right, in general in college basketball. I don't know any of these players well enough to sit here and say, you know, this guy's not trying or this guy's not bought in. I generally try to stay away from that kind of stuff because it's impossible for me to tell.
It's hard to
right?
know, yeah, sure.
And when you're winning, everything is great and everyone's giving their maximum effort and everyone's bought in and your locker room culture is great. And when you lose, all that stuff is bad. And I try to be a bit more nuanced than that. But if if you are a coach of a team, whether it's Texas Tech or Florida or the Cal Golden Bears or whatever, and you bring in players that are not bought in, right, that are taking their bag of cash and then just kind of loafing, in some respects, that's on you
mm-hmm.
for not kind of weeding them out in the selection process and not, you know, fishing out, hey, are you really pissed off for greatness here? And,
right. You know,
are you going to take some charges and bust your rear end on defense, or are you just wanting a payday? On some level, that's on the coach too, right? I mean, we can extend you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen to this stuff as well.
I mean, Texas and Kansas and others have NIL as well, and they're getting their guys. I'm sure Houston has NIL, right?
I mean, you had NIL last year.
Yeah, it's true. In a way that, you know, we're not. It's not like we've got a bunch of guys that are fat and happy, and everyone else is lean and hungry. I don't. That's not to say I'm entirely pushing back on what Chris is saying. I'm just the game has sort of shifted. I don't mean the game of basketball, but just the game of managing 18 to 22 year olds has shifted now because you may be coaching a kid that has $50,000 paycheck or $100,000 paycheck.
I mean, if you're a college head coach in men's basketball or in college football, you have more on your plate than NFL or NBA counterpart.
Cliff said
not
that.
Not even
that,
a little bit.
Yeah, Cliff said that in that episode I watched yesterday. And by the way, watch the finale. And it was, as you would imagine, it kind of ends with Cliff getting fired, and even had a clip.
Spoiler alert.
I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
But it ends with.
How many times do I have to tell you about spoiler alerts?
And one thing about it, I didn't remember if they had won their game this weekend or not, because nothing was riding on it. So I didn't even think to check it. And I was going, all right, I'm dialed in. And, you know, yet another quarterback injury, a concussion. I mean, and Cliff talked about, like, somewhere in they had interviewed him, I guess maybe on the Thursday prior to the thing, at his house, and he was kind of being reflective, wasn't giving in. He was like, we still got a plan, we're going to work it, and da-da-da. But somewhere in there, he talked about, hey, I know what this is about. I've been here before. My last year at Tech, we went through three or four quarterbacks, so here we are. You know, things don't happen to us, they happen for us, so we're trying to make the best of this situation. You know, it was really good, but you know, there was also a clip that, you know, they kind of mount that high camera deal in the team meeting room, you know.
Eye in the sky.
Yeah, and have it there for a lot of the meetings. And Cliff walks in and talks to the staff and says, hey, fellas, I'm sure you know by now, we got fired. You know, appreciate everything you guys do. If I can do anything to help, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's just kind of jarring. I mean, you know, that's how it works, but it's just, you know, to see it. But the thing that was very surprisingly emotional, like, yeah, J.J. Watt retired. But they did stuff. Of course, they were out of it. And so the tension was sort of off in terms of, hey, let's go out and play hard and get after it. J.J.'s last game, but just him in practice. And they, you know, him talking to guys, man, it's my last practice. And they were like, all right, this is the last period. All right, this is the last day on the bags. You know, him doing all the mm-hmm. ripping and swimming and all that stuff. And they get in the meeting room, and one of the coaches said, hey, this was whatever Coach Dickens' idea, you know, and they had.
I saw that video.
Yeah, the Zoom interviews, and he was crying, and I mean, I was sitting there with tears in my eyes and a lump in my throat, like, dang, man,
that's softy.
I know, dude,
man.
And then after the deal, he goes and hugs his wife, and she's kind of choked up, and he is too. But they take their baby, which was born in October, first child, and stand him on the field, you know, kind of after the game. Didn't just carry him out there, but stood him on the field, like, all right, we're doing this, you know. Got to see dad play and all that, but it was really I just sat down going, all right, I watched this Hard Knocks, and I'm out, like, man, I'm kind of affected by this now. I know, my goodness. It wasn't that bad, but I was kind of somber for a little bit, like, dang, man. I mean, there is not a quick enough path for that dude to get to Canton,
oh, no.
By the way. Oh, yeah. My gosh. What a player.
He had
two sacks in his final game. He had like 10 in his life. He had 10 sacks since his baby was born in October.
Wow.
Yeah.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at doublet973.com.